Welcome to Nightlight. Step away from the mainstream and gather around as we enlighten the world around us and travel this cosmic journey we call life. Join us as we share with you and provide that beacon that can guide us all to a better way. Nightlight, a reminder that you are never alone. And now your host, internationally renowned spiritual intuit, medium, channel, author, artist, lecturer, ordained minister, and good all-around girl, Ms. Barbara DeLong.
Hi there, and good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Nightlight. That was the magical voice of Ken Quiet Hawk, inviting you to come in out of the mainstream and join with us for a time to be sheltered from the storms of evolution and change, that which we laughingly call creation. Come and join with other light-minded spirits as we weave our lights together to seek understanding, enlightenment, and wisdom. These are times of change, times that call to all of those in the spiritual world. And you answer that call from all walks of life, from countless aspects of the spiritual realms. This is a time of awakening, of sharing and evolving, of spreading your wings and soaring on the cosmic breath of creation. We all come from different backgrounds and modalities, from all walks of life, and yet there is a synchronicity, a commonality that draws and blends us together, weaving us once more into a collective purpose, a common direction, and a united family once again. We go by different titles, labels, names. We call ourselves watchers, wardens, indigos, soothsayers, mystics, questers, querents, journeyers and journeymen, seekers, star children, philosophers, light workers, light bearers, and, well, that list, it goes on and on and on. It goes on forever. And it is as unique and eclectic as are we. Yet we all have the same spiritual calling, and we all, in our own very individual ways, bring light into this reality to facilitate the awakening and shifting of the consciousness for all of mankind. This is my own very private oasis in the turmoil we call evolution, so sit back, take a break, share your lights with us, and join in the love, the light, and the laughter that spiritual energy always generates when lights are blended and spirits lifted. I'm Barb DeLong, your host, and along with Chris, who is doing some screening here and there, she will be screening, I guess, throughout the show. Jeannie is down with the flu, and I gave her the day off. I'm not even going to dock her pay. So if you want to talk to the co-host, that would be Chris. So try not to abuse her because she gets nasty when she gets abused. We'll be doing readings shortly. And if you'd like to call in for one, the number is 347-857-2139. I don't answer IMs during the show. I'm not that talented yet. But I'm working on it. Someday that will happen, but not today. So if you IM me, it's going to unfortunately be ignored. Not because I don't care, but because I just can't handle more than one thing at a time as far as this goes. Ken Quiet Hawk, if you want to hear more of that amazing voice, can be found at www.nativestorytellers.com. He also can be found at a show on Visionary on the Bear and the Wolf Network called Hawk's Nest, and that's on Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. He is an amazing man. He does a show that reminds us of where we come from. He puts on shows that take us back to the days when radio was what we listened to, not iPhones or iPods or computers or iPads or television. And it's an amazing, amazing show. I love it. Please visit it on Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. His partner, Deborah New Moon Rising, also has a show on Tuesdays And her show is called On My Mind with Mama Moon, and that's at 1 p.m. Eastern. Won't be on this week, but next week probably. And her show is different as well. She talks about Native stuff. She brings stories. She tells about the philosophies of where we come from and how spoken history is so very important. And she does it with a voice that just lures you in, and it's an amazing show. Please check that one out as well. And while I'm plugging stuff, Visionary Times is on every Wednesday and Friday from 1 to 3. I'm one of the co-hosts on it, along with Bear Medicine Walker and the Reverend Ann Rose. It is an amazing show with philosophy and, of course, free readings because, you know, if I can't play reading, hey, what's the worth of the show? For me, anyhow, it's an amazing show, and it's on every Wednesday and Friday from 1 to 3 Eastern Standard Time. And then also, Bear Medicine Walker does morning blessings every morning on Visionary Times. I think it's called Morning Blessings with Bear Medicine Walker. That is probably, and it's on at 10 o'clock Eastern Time from Monday to Thursday. It is magical. It is a profoundly beautiful way to start the morning. She has a skill and a gift with doing Native blessings that are just, they're profound. And it is also an amazing way to start your day. I highly encourage you to check that one out. And for a place, this is getting amazing, for a place to sit down and sort of diffuse and relax, I do Sunday nights on Curious Times with Chris as well. Her show is on every night from 10 to 12. It's called Curious Times, and it is an amazingly lovely place to go to experience a lot of different readers and how they read and different modalities and philosophies. It's not just a reading show. There's a lot of other stuff that goes on there too. Please visit us there. Now, I don't know where you can find Jen. I've tried to talk her into getting a website. She hasn't quite done that yet. So I figure if I embarrass her enough, she'll put one up just to shut me up probably. She is an amazing lady. She is talented. She is gifted. She is a medium. She is a channel. She is a very spiritual person. She lives in a very spiritual place, and she communes with nature and resonates with the earth energies and brings the joy, the love, the healing that come from one who is in synchronistic harmony with the earth energies. She's a gentle person, but she packs a wallop with the accurate information she brings forward. If you would be interested in a reading from her, I highly encourage you to call in early because this line is already very interesting as far as links go. So I thought I saw her in the queue, and now I don't. So she may have, I think she's called in on Skype, and she dropped off. So, yeah, we'll try. Maybe either Chris or
she's
I
here.
Can.
She's here.
Oh, she.
Hello,
she
Jen.
Back.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes,
yeah,
ma'am.
I can hear you. Hi.
Okay, hi.
Chris, if you get a chance, could you post the Visionary Times, your show, and Hawk's Nest and New Moon Rising and the Mama Moon Show links, if you get
I was just getting on that, and then I got called over to help you locate Jen. So, yes, she's a slave driver. Oh, my God. Okay, back to salt mines for me.
I'll give you a raise. I'll turn up next Sunday to do your show.
Yeah. Here we go. All right. Talk to you later. Have a good show.
Okay, bye-bye. Welcome, right. Jen. Hi.
Hi. I am so sorry.
Yes,
embarrassed me. Chris just asked me for my website, and I was, I did get a red face.
You should have a red face. You come on the show, you do wonderful readings, and then people have no way of contacting you. No, that's not very kind.
No, it's not very kind. And as you know, I've hidden myself for so long, Barbara, and I think a lot of us in so many walks of our life, we try and stay hidden for whatever reasons. And it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. So I'm making a huge note and a huge star and whatever else we do to get my website done, because it doesn't take any time to do it. And this is what my calling is. This is what I must do.
Well,
so.
Yeah, and you do realize you're going to be back on this show any number of times, and I'm going to embarrass the hell out of you with, and what was your website? Do you have a way people can get a hold of you? Are you doing readings here to just tantalize people and then walking away giggling? If you're going to advertise something, you better be able to be available to put it out there.
Oh, Barbara, you're so good for me. Thank you so much.
Well, you know, Jen does have a Facebook page. You probably can, you know, she'll probably respond to you if you go to her Facebook page. And so you can find Jen Young on Facebook. And is it just your name they look for, or is there something else?
It is just my name, Jen Young. And I am there. And if you want to be my friend, I'm very I'm very friendable. I'm friendable. Although,
okay, so if that's the case, you know, there are probably a couple thousand people that will eventually listen to this show. So go on Jen Young's Facebook page and friend her. She needs friends. Let's get Jen's Facebook really full up with friends.
Yes, friends. But a lot of times, you know, some people just don't like me for some reason. And, you know, most of the times we really don't care. And other times you just think, wow, what have I done? What have I done lately?
Well, you know, it's everybody has the prerogative, you know, to like or not like. And that's wonderful. There is freedom of choice here for sure. And, you know, if they don't like what they hear on the show, there are tons of spiritual shows out there. Go find one that you really resonate to. You know, I'm very blessed that lovely, wonderful people turn up in the chat room here and they call in for readings. And it's really quite amazing that, you know, I would say 99.9% of the time they are lovely, wonderful, spiritually oriented people. And then there are the people that are looking for a political show and just, you know, hit the wrong thing and are sitting there dazed wondering, how is this politics, you know? And you know, sometimes when people, you know, make strange choices, they turn up to be the right choice after all. I had, a long time ago, I used to do a meditation in my house every Friday night. And it was usually a very large group. Sometimes it got to 60 or 70 people. And I didn't always know the people. You know, people came because they'd been recommended and they wanted to sit in on a good meditation and stuff. And one day, the meditation had just started, and someone else was leading it, and someone came to the door, and I went to the door, and I went, shh, shh, and I just, you know, motioned them to come in and, you know, pointed to a seat, and they sat through the whole meditation and the sharing, the readings that we did afterwards. And when it came time for coffee and snacks, I went up and I said, I'm really sorry, but we had already started, and I didn't want to, you know, talk and interrupt what was going on. And he said, no, that's just fine, but I was looking for this address. Could you tell me where it is? And I said, why didn't you just leave? And he said, no, this was fun. So he missed a party, but he found another party. So it was really kind of, I was very embarrassed, you know. I just figured anybody who came to the door certainly was coming to the meditation. But you know, and you know, it's I think in this field, you're right. A lot of times we hid in the last couple of decades. You know, if I go back five decades to when I started, yes, I didn't make it common knowledge that this is what I did, especially when I was teaching, because I could have lost my job. But of late, it's okay to be a channel or a medium or a psychic. People don't look down their noses at you. They're more interested in finding out about you. so that while public awareness has expanded greatly, I think we have to lose our shyness. And I'm not saying take out an ad in the newspaper that Jen's come out of the closet. She's a medium. So that would be cool. But you know, it's really important, especially because you're going to be doing so many radio shows. You really need to have a website.
I do. You know, I've done a few readings, and I talked about this a while back with a different friend and different people, and I was working on getting one done up, and then, you know, life happens, as we call it, and I just put it on. I put it on the side of the desk and let, you know, a different part of my life take over. And I think we've talked about this before. Whenever we do that, it doesn't matter. The spirituality part, the medium part, always says, excuse me, you can do this for a tiny, but we're going to be making you come right back and do this, because this is what you are supposed to be doing, and this is where you belong, and this is where you're happiest.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so absolutely true, and it's what the universe ultimately wants us to be doing. And, you know, we can call it synchronicity or coincidence, God incidents, whatever label, if we want to use labels, we want to put on it. I think we're always drawn back or put back to it. And, you know, this past week, and I'm going to say week to 10 days, has really shown me that. And I was talking to Chris from Curious Times this morning, and I said to her, you know, I woke up and she started my day off perfectly. And, you know, I had to thank her for making me laugh first thing this morning. And this whole day has just rolled into one big smile. And it's nice when things like that happen.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I don't think anybody can talk to Chris and not end up smiling. I mean, she's just contagious. And even when she's angry and on a rage of some sort about inhumanity to man and so much more, she has a way of putting things that you have to, you listen and you take her seriously, but you also have to chuckle because she's so intense and she's so sincere and she's so genuine and she can really, I mean, when they call the kind of reading I sometimes do a let it rip, Chris can let it rip. And it's phenomenal. And I don't know how she manages to do a show 7 days a week, 3 hours a night, but she does. And her show is on, again, 10 to 12 Eastern time. It's called Curious Times. It's well worth a visit because it's an education, it's entertainment, and there's always laughter there. Always, always, always. So that you're going to get a good chuckle no matter what happens. And it's a nice way to end the day as well as starting the day. So what have you been up to? Are you honing your skills? Are you doing other radio shows? What's up with you?
What's up with me? I haven't been doing other radio shows, I don't think. At the moment, I've been doing my civic meetings, working on environmental issues, and every time I think I'm just about done, I don't go looking for things. It's like they find me. Uh-huh. And I don't know if it's a shift in the universe or something, and I go for a hike to clear my head and you know, something pops up and I just look around and I think, am I in the series Lost? You know, and then something weird happens or what? And I have to start questioning. And as I said to someone when I went to investigate, I said, I have the right to ask questions. It is my right as a person to ask questions. And so I think we all have to be true to ourselves. And right now, I guess I'm finding it really difficult to leave that part of my life alone and just say, enough is enough. And when do we get to say enough is enough? Enough is enough. I'm going to put all that aside and just continue on this wonderful journey with my spirituality and what I just absolutely love and want to do. And
you know, I have found that when you come to that point where you realize what nurtures your spirit and you focus on that and making sure that that's in your life on a regular basis, that everything else really falls into place. And you know, it takes care of itself. And sometimes those of us who are in this kind of a field, because we're in this field, we sometimes think that maybe there's more we could do or something else we could do. And sometimes doing more gets in the way of what the universe is meant to do. So sometimes it's important for us to get out of the way so the universe can do its job, too. I mean, we have the perception that because we're spiritually focused that we know what is spiritually correct. And, you know, to a certain degree we do, but we don't have the whole big picture in front of us. So sometimes getting out of the way and addressing those things that we have control over is a better way to fuel the universe and allowing it and getting out of its way so that it can do what is most appropriate for it to do. It's tough to know when the time is right and when the time is not right, but you know if it's not right, then the universe just slams you in the head and says, are you crazy? And you get back to work. You know, there's no perfect way of doing this stuff, and every now and then you do get so carried away with the process of what you're doing that you kind of forget the purpose of what you're doing, and you know, you have to be moved gently out of the way. And every time I get moved out of the way, it's never gentle because I don't want to make a move or take a stand that is my ego talking, so I usually just wait for the universe to slam me in the head, and then I know, oh, okay, maybe it's time. I mean, I needed to change my schedule to a great degree, and I wasn't doing it because I thought it was perfect. I was, you know, serving humanity always and, you know, in different venues and all sorts of stuff, and so I had overloaded myself to the point that you know, the creative stuff couldn't happen. And so the universe gave me a sinus infection that made me back out of a lot of the affairs that I do so that I have spare time to put into other things. And you know, it's a move I never would have made without the incentive of not being able to actually get to the fair. And it's amazing now that I've made that choice and decision, you know, the sinus infection is going away and I understand, you know, it's kind of like, I got it, I understand now, you can make me well now because you had a lot of fun making me, you know, dysfunctional to a certain degree. Now give me my energy back and let's get on with life. So, and, you know, until I screw up again, you know, things will be fine.
You know, I like the way you say that because, you know, I go for a walk and I see something and it's you know, it's huge anyhow. I'm not going to go into it. But today I went to pick up a few groceries and I saw this fellow and he said, you know, this and this is going to happen. And I thought, now that's very interesting. You know, it's like I can, it's all happened within 10 days or whatever. I'm going to say 10 days because the number 10 for whatever reason sounds good today. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, I can let it be. Finally, I can let it be. And I think that is what all of this was driving at, is that I was supposed to, I was being led there because mm-hmm. this was the final little brick in the path. The what are those called? The stepping stones that we make to get things through. And I have mm-hmm. to write this stepping stone down because this is for someone. Stepping stones. And I just thought this is really interesting because I don't think this would have happened quite as quickly without this. And it was the universe's way of saying, okay, I'm going to help you out. I'm really going to, you know, do this. And I thought, okay. You know, and I didn't see that until today.
Well, you know, I think that's something that everybody who is not a practicing psychic, everybody is psychic, but not everybody practices it. But I think it's something everybody really needs to hear and really needs to understand. Even though people like Jen and well, Renee Richards, who's in the chat room too, and me, you know, you sometimes people look upon us as, oh, look at you know, how terrific they are and stuff like that. The reality is we're still learning. We're on our pathways too. And the important thing is not only that we screw up and mess up and really, really, you know, put a wrench into the workings every now and then, but that's how we can use those experiences to, mm-hmm. to show you that you know, we're just, you know, we're just like everybody else. And everybody else could be just like us if they really wanted to be, if they really worked on the same stuff that we worked on, the kind of, you know, ourselves, not going to classes and stuff like that, but cleaning up ourselves internally and spiritually understanding what's going on within us and trying to change and shift our lives and our perspectives around so that we are focused on kindness to other people and a gentle nature and helping people to... Not to tell them what to do, but to help to shed light upon them so that they can see their choices and make the correct one for them this lifetime. And so it's important that everybody understand that we're not there. We're still working. If we had achieved, you know, a complete understanding of spiritual everything, if we were totally in touch with the master within and had ascended in consciousness to that cosmic consciousness, we would be dead. We'd be on the other side. We wouldn't be here still struggling like everybody else. And so, you know, it's something that I think it's important. Somebody once told me that my struggles along my pathway were the best teaching tool I would ever have, and they were absolutely right. It's sort of like, you know, when you're teaching people, using your own missteps is the best tool that you can possibly use. You know, I will tell people, you know, I've made the mistake you're making, and it messed me up for quite a while. So now that you know that this is not a smart way to go, find another mistake to make that I haven't experienced, and we'll learn together. You know, don't make my mistake. I've already made it. You know?
That is true.
It's sort of like, you know, the reason that we can do what we do is because we are battle scarred. I mean, somebody was moaning and groaning to me, and I said, "Is that all?" And they said, "What do you mean, is that all?" I said, "I thought you had problems. This is nothing." And then another lady, I forget what show it was on, but she said, you know, she was talking about, you know, wanting to get back into employment or something like that. She said, "I'm old." And I said, "How old are you?" She said, "Well, I'm in my 50s. And I said, "Suck it up. I'm in my 70s. If you, you know, that's nothing. If you're calling 50 old, then I have to be ancient, and I'm not ready for that title, so just suck it up."
I think suck it up must be the term or the catchphrase of the week, the day, whatever, because I've read it or heard it about 3 times so far, suck it up. And I think, yeah, people have to start doing that. Just suck it up.
I mean, we charted these lifetimes. We asked for these experiences so our soul could grow. And yes, we were in a different state of consciousness when we did it. And yes, we checked all the boxes and didn't pay any attention to how hard it might be. But the reality is we did it. So, you know, this is what we asked for. Instead of moaning and groaning and saying, "Oh, my God," step back and say, all right, this is a challenge, but if I gave it to myself, I must be capable of getting through it, and I must be capable of finding a way to do this with integrity and sincerity and laugh at the other side because I figured it out. Just means that there'll be another challenge up the road, but we won't go there. But you know, it's sort of like if you can't let the lessons you've asked for defeat you because that's stupid. You have the capability of getting through it, or you wouldn't have put it to yourself. So no matter how tough it is, and trust me, I totally have been there with no money and with no job and no food and a single parent. And, you know, I can go the whole thing. I can go the whole nine yards. But the reality is sometimes you just have to laugh at it all and say, all right, there has to be a good way out of this, one that is not against the law and not against my moral value system. And you know, you find it. And as soon as you have that perspective, as soon as you have that ability to look at it in a positive light, in a positive manner, and you don't do it all the time, please, please, please understand. I love this famous quote from Barbara. All right. But the reality is, you know, you have to find the laughter in your spirit. And if you find the laughter in your spirit, you can get through anything. And I mean anything. There was laughter and there was joy in the ghettos. There was laughter and there was joy in the concentration camps. You know, little pieces here and there, but it was present. And it helped people get through the most difficult times of their life. And nothing that you or I are ever going to face is going to be as difficult as those times.
That's right, you know.
Go ahead.
No, my uncle was a POW. He was shot down. He was a tail gunner, I guess is what they're called.
Uh-huh.
And he was in a POW camp over in Germany. And the stories he came out with, and, you know, he laughed. It had to be extremely rough, a very harsh reality, but the laughter, you know, at the stupid things they did, and it is laugh. There is laughter, and I was told that last night. A friend had phoned and said, you know, I hope you don't mind, but I used you as an example when your mom was going through her bit with Alzheimer's, and my mom has died now, and her mom she's going through the same thing. But she said, you know, I used you as an example because you found the humor in it and, you know, in the things your mom did. And
oh, yeah.
I said, oh, yeah. I said, you know, it was really hard at the time, but, you know, the funny things. And I said, I caught myself thinking about it this past week, too. You know, parts that I was so grateful for, you know, and thankful for, and other parts I was really grateful for that my sister had to go and do and I didn't have to do. But, you know.
Well, my mom had dementia as well. And towards the end, I would walk into her room and she would say, who are you? And I would say, I'm Barbara and your daughter. And she, oh, yes, hi. And she would chat with me. And if I would go out and use the restroom and I'd come back in and she'd say, oh, hi, who are you? And I'd tell her I was my sister. And one day I must have done it 15 times. And as I was leaving, she was talking to the nurse and she said, do you know 15 members of my family came and visited me today? And she was so thrilled that so many people had visited her. And it was like, and it wasn't, oh, isn't that sad? It was, isn't that fabulous? She felt so great. And she never even blinked when I told her I was her father and her brother who had already passed. And you know, I ran out of family members, so I made people up. But it was, and her roommate kept looking at me, and I kept looking at her, and I said, oh, have I met you? And she said, I said, have I met you today? And she, no. And she kept giving different names, too. And my mother said to me at one point, you know, the roommates keep changing here so often. I mean, was it sad? It was, yes, it was sad. But, you know, it made her very happy.
Humor. Yeah, absolutely have to find the humor. My husband would take my mom's laundry to her every week and at the facility, and my mom would say, oh, I want you to meet my son-in-law. And she'd introduce him to the same nurse every time. Have you met Caroline yet? And I'd say to her, you know, are you trying to fix him up, Mom? Oh, but he's got to meet Caroline. You know, I just laugh. And she'd say, this is my cabin boy. And we just like, oh, wow, Mom. But it was good.
Yeah.
Like, it's what happens, right? And well, it's all wonderful. You know, the saddest times are the hardest times. We have to find the laughter. It's what keeps us going.
Yeah. Not only that, but remember, with dementia, they are in dementia in this reality, but their consciousness is whole and complete, and they often visit the other side because it's very boring here. So, it's you are giving them a reality that is so much richer if you celebrate it with them instead of trying to say, oh, Mom, you don't remember me, and cry. Nah, and my sister said, are you trying to convince her to change the will? And I said, oh, God, no, I did that years ago. Don't worry about that. I told my sister she was adopted, and she really believed me for so long. My mother finally said, you have to tell her the truth. I couldn't believe my sister would actually believe me. Listen, we've got a whole bunch of people here. So let's do some readings. We've got Kimberly here. Hi, Kimberly. How are you today?
Hi, Barbara. I'm great. What about you?
Oh, could not be better. How can we help today?
We've talked about this before. It's work. I'm actively have applied to physician assistant school, and that's going well.
Okay.
But the teaching, I just need to know what I need to do for this next year because it's just not doing anything for me. Should I apply for something new?
I got to tell you, I forget which show you, I know was it Lizzie's show?
It was Lizzie's
I forget
show.
Which.
Yep.
Yeah,
it was
and
Lizzie's
and show. I told you how great you were, but you were in the wrong profession.
Yes.
I'm still going to say you're in the wrong profession. So is there any way, I understand you need the salary.
Yeah.
But, God, I would just love to change your job somehow. Are you in
Me
middle
too.
School, high school?
High school.
High school. Damn. you don't belong there. And you know something? I know that it's very important to you to do a good job. How long will the physician's assistant program take?
2 years and 6 months.
30 months.
And when does it start?
It starts in August of 2015.
You're going to have to hang on for another 2 years, unless you want to starve. The salary, you can't make that salary anyplace else. Even if you did 5 or 6 part-time jobs. The fact that you're burned out is not showing, and I think that you could probably make another 2 years, but. What I'm seeing here that is so necessary is for you to be doing something creative and spiritual on the side that kind of feeds you so that not feeds you physically but feeds you emotionally so that you feel that there are changes and there are things coming and you know that this is just your mundane job that you're getting through for another couple of years so that you can finally move into something that nurtures your spirit to a greater degree, that puts laughter into your life to a greater degree. And you need to really start looking at some of the ways that you can supplement yourself, not financially, but emotionally. And, I got to send you back to church. Are you going back to church?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. It doesn't feel like you found the right one yet.
No, I haven't.
But you know, keep looking and finding a place where there is a feeling of support and family. And, you know, you may have to branch out to a different denomination or something, but it does feel as though that's important for you. It feels as though there's a lot of spiritual energy that is helping you, working with you. Is there a place where you could do meditation, yoga, something like that?
There is a place that I see on my way to work every morning. I said I was going to check it out.
Check it out, because what you're going to have to do, I think, for the next 2 years is to really, you know, focus on finding lots and lots and lots of different spiritual modalities that you can utilize to keep yourself positive towards what you're doing, so you can put another 2 years here. What are you getting, Jen? Hello, Jen.
Sorry, I muted my microphone. Did you have something else to say, Kim?
Yeah, I was just going to ask Barbara. She says 2 years, but the school starts in 2015, so that's another year. I mean, that's just a year, not two.
Okay, well, until you get going with you know, the new, is it school full-time?
Yeah, school is full-time, yeah.
Then you do another year of teaching then.
Oh, okay. All right.
Jen?
Yeah, what I'm getting for you is that, you know, you can look at things in a different perspective. I'm stuttering right now, and I don't know why. Look at things in a different way or in a different ray of light. And the job, I haven't spoken with you before. What I'm getting is the job isn't that horrid that you're doing right now. And I agree with Barbara, is that you're not really burnt out from it. You're just really not in your chosen profession. Take some time and give yourself a spiritual break, if you will. And what I see is water pouring forth from an urn. So you've got to do a cleansing and a spiritual rebirth, if you will. So I would agree with Barbara in going to a different gospel church or a different, gosh, I can picture it, I just can't get the words out. Even a spiritual church, try and find an outlet for all that creativity that you have. Do you do any drawings or color mandalas or anything?
No, I don't.
Have you ever tried painting?
I haven't, but I attempted to when I was younger, and I just stopped.
Well, I would really encourage you to take a painting class and let some of that bold creativity come out, because I'm being told you've got an immense talent. And you would do wonderful things with that. I'm also given the number 6 for you. So I think that would be really good.
Okay,
so keep the number 6 if you would, please.
Okay.
Okay, Kim.
And that's all I've got. Thank you.
Thanks
so much, Kim. Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye.
Yeah, I remember that day well, where I told her how great she was and that she was totally in the wrong profession. I could hear jaws dropping all over the place, and she laughed and said, "You're absolutely right." So, we've got Ivatar here, I think. Hi, Ivatar. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Barbara. How are you?
I am fabulous. How can we help?
Hi, Jen. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I've been having a lot of the creativity, and I'm getting ready to write and publish a book this year, and I wanted to see what you were picking up on that. And I met somebody a few weeks ago, and I seem attracted to him. He seems attracted to me, but I don't know why I'm wavering, you know, in my, you know, thoughts. I don't know why I'm doing that.
Well, it could have something to do with the fact that it's been a while since you've had a relationship.
A long time.
All right. It's been a long time since you've had a relationship. First of all, most importantly, congratulations on the book. This is really important for you, and this is you're fulfilling a dream, and it's amazingly important that you continue to follow your dreams and continue to be creative in some way, shape, or form every day. The relationship, I put cards out here, and you know, it's new beginnings, magic and miracles. You're going to have to work on a lot of aspects. I think that you're in the very, very early stages of this. I don't think that, you know, has anything happened? Has he asked you out or anything like that?
No, he hasn't asked me out or anything like that, but he really makes it known that he, you know, when somebody likes you, they just go out of their way to, you know, he just kind of goes out of his way.
Well, enjoy it. I mean,
yeah.
He's not asking you for a commitment for life right here. He's just, you know, this is the best part. This is the most fun. Have fun with it. Don't be scared of it. You know, you can always say no thanks and walk away, but I would strongly urge you to, so long as it doesn't go too fast, so long as you're not, you know, you don't feel pushed or obligated or pressured, then you're fine. But you're a great big grown-up girl. You know how to take care of yourself and how to say no, and I don't get the feeling that this man has any of the same patterns that the past relationships have had. So it feels like it's a new pattern. It is a pattern, but he feels very respectful to me, and I think that it's going to, the important thing that I see you learning here is to really let everybody know exactly how you feel about stuff instead of just keeping your mouth shut and hoping somebody won't disappoint you. If you tell them, you know, how you feel and what you need and what you want, I mean, don't do it all on the first date, but you know, kind of, don't play coy and just wait and see if he knows what to do. Tell him what to do so he doesn't screw up. And that's hard for you. That's going to be hard because you're not normally like that. But it's very important at this point in time in your life for you to, you know, put it on the table and not play games. And the other thing that's really important here for you, and I really strongly stress that you let, if dating does start and commence and stuff like that, that you let him know that you do not need nor do you want drama in your life. And if he's going to provide drama, he can go find another theater to perform in.
Okay.
What are you getting, Jen?
Actually, what I'm getting is I'm glad you said drama, is the exact same thing. What I'm seeing is someone talking in a very loud voice with a lot of yak, 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 yak. Like, so the communication is of the utmost importance. And with that comes active listening and understanding. So having said that, with anything new, there's the desire to move on and to explore and to enjoy. And you have to respect each other's feelings in that way. So encourage each other, but also when you're doing that, I would encourage both of you not to put all your cards on the table, so to speak. Like, you don't have to put all your baggage out there, because sometimes it's not baggage at all. It's just little quirks or whatever. It's just, you know, going out and having a really good time and letting it flow from there. So, but, you know, baggage can lead to perceived drama, and with someone just yak. That can happen. And I don't know who on the sidelines would be doing it, but that's what I'm getting. Enjoy it.
So that's what you say you're picking up. When you say yak, yak, do you mean you're picking up that he talks a lot? I don't know exactly what that means.
No, what I'm saying is that there's the potential for a lot of drama, miscommunication, if you allow it.
Oh, okay.
And so communication, because this is a new era, a new beginning, a new walk in your life. And it's something that I don't think you're going to be used to. So don't bring any preconceived ideas with you.
Okay.
Enjoy. Okay.
Yeah, and you know, please hear what we're saying. This is you can look upon him as training wheels. And, you know, just look upon this as an experience where you can be more open and forthright with your needs and your feelings. I mean, to a tasteful
mm-hmm.
degree. And you know, practice, you know, coming into a relationship where the communication is a two-way flow. And
yeah.
And this feels like it's a good person. And it's sort of like if you allow this person to sort of overwhelm you, they will. But there's no need for that. You've got a mouth and you've got a good vocabulary and you can put them in their place and he will enjoy that. I mean, don't do it roughly or rudely, but you know, you know how to say no thanks. I don't intend to go that direction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, set your boundaries and let him know what they are. And
yeah.
if he doesn't like them, he can move on. Because trust
yeah.
me, you have a relationship coming. You have to learn how to do this well. And he may be your practice, and there may be somebody else down the road, or he may hang in there and be the person that you end up with. But whichever way it goes, please don't go into your old patterns. They did not work.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling. Take it easy and have a good time. This is supposed to be fun.
Good.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Going to be fun.
Take care now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I know that my you know, I sometimes say to people, it's either feast or famine. And the last time I had a famine, it was 13 years. And when I got to the point towards the end of that 13 years where I can remember I was in my garden and I was looking around the garden and I live in it's beautiful. And I remember saying to myself, you know what? This is really cool. This is almost blissful. And if this is the way it is for the rest of my life, I am very content. And within a couple of months, the universe heard that and said, oh, cripe, she's just too happy. Let's send a relationship her way and see if she knows how to be in one. And not only was it good, it was great, and it was amazing, and it was probably, you know, it was wonderful. So, but I did behave much differently in that relationship than I had in any other. So you know, when you have a famine like that, you have to understand there's a feast just around the corner as soon as you're ready to try out new ways of developing relationship. It's really, really cool. So we've got Yvette Marie here. Hi, Yvette. How are you doing?
I'm well. How are you, Miss Barbara?
Very well. Very well. How can we help?
You know, I had the most interesting thing with you last night. When you were talking to me, the sweetest aroma came out. And I was a little dumbfounded when you were talking to me last night, and I was just like, what is going on? Have you ever had that happen before? It was really strange. Anyway. It was literally the sweetest aroma was coming from my phone, and I kept smelling everywhere, and it was coming from the phone only while you were talking to me.
Wow.
So very, very strange. Anyway.
I'm going to check my toothpaste.
Some good stuff. I just figured it was just the sweet, sweet spirit coming with you. That's what I figured. Anyway, I was actually curious as to, I'm looking to get married this year, and I do believe this is the year.
Okay.
I just want to see if you saw that coming up at all.
My, you know, the obvious question is, are you in a relationship?
Yes. It's been a long,
oh, okay.
on and off thing.
that helps a lot.
I finally think we're getting to that point, like we've been in around very cyclical system of us over the last 9 years, and I'm thinking we're finally on the same wavelength again.
Okay. I'm going to let Jen go first, and then I'll chime in, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Go, Jen.
Go, Jen. Well, pleased to meet you, Yvette Marie. I love that you get smells. I think that's just such a wonderful way of communicating. I get smells all the time. Some are really delicious and some really aren't delicious. So you always wonder who is around when that happens. Well, I get that there's a significant life event happening for you this year. And that is going to be incredible. And I think that there are going to be, I'm given two events in your life this year. Both are going to be joyful. And one is, I get the word bountiful, which is something I don't usually, it's not a word I would generally use. So, bountiful, and I'm giving the harvest time for you. Harvest moon, Neil Young's Harvest Moon song, which is one of my favorite tunes of all time. Did you plan on getting married in the fall?
You know, I just want any time this year works good for me. It can be right now. I'm good.
I'm looking at these cards that I got out here, and Jen's right. This is an amazing year for you. But I got to tell you, I don't see you getting married until next February. So that wouldn't be this year, but it would be within 12 months of now. So it depends on whether you were talking 2014 or if you were talking 12 months from now. I absolutely can see you getting married next February. But at the same time, and I don't see any strife here or any struggle. It just feels as though there's a greater commitment to relationship. There's abundance coming here. You're at a threshold of moving into new levels of awareness and consciousness. All I see is laughter, joy, and celebration. I feel the intuition kicking up. I feel body, mind, and spirit coming together. It does feel, and as Jen said, there is that element of major celebration in a couple of time frames. One is August and the other is November. But when I'm looking at the aspect of actual commitment, I don't see it till next February. Jen, how do you feel about that?
I'm not good with time frames. I've said that before. I'll say it again. I'm, you know, time for me or whatever. Barbara, you are just fantastic with them. Like I say, I get harvest time for bounty, and that could mean an abundance, and I get the word abundance also of things. Are you engaged at all?
That's a whole other story. We've been on and off for 9 years. There's been a couple of marriage proposals, a couple of what, ask me the right way. And now I'm just like, let's just go. Let's just get married.
So why do you do that? Why? And I really have to question, why do you say, ask me the right way?
You know, it was my immaturity at the time. I was not mature enough at the time to accept what he was offering. I hadn't talked to him for like 2 months, and the first time he asked to marry him, he called me on the phone and said, yeah, I'm retired from the military. How about we get married before I retire? And I went, what? And I didn't even think he was serious. So he's Mr. Practical, though. And so now that I have learned him as a person, I get it. You know, like, little things to him mean love. Like, the fact, like, I was out of vanilla, so he brought me vanilla. Those things is very practical. That's his way he expresses love. Where I was looking for this big, grandiose gesture of, you know, what you see in movies or something, and I missed out on both the first couple times. And now I'm mature enough to accept, you know, just the fact of what love actually is, and I'm just, like, ready to go and get married, like, right now. Like, I will go right now in my tracksuit.
You know, I find that so telling, and I really want to thank you, really, from the innermost part of me. Thank you for saying that, bringing you a jar of vanilla is what true love is all about, because a lot of people just don't get that. It's the little things that people, whether they're a guy, a girl, or whatever, notices and says, and that's what it is about. It's doing the dishes. It's bringing a jar of vanilla. It's doing whatever. It's the small gestures. And, you know, that is really cool. So I was just curious. And we all have the right to ask questions. So thank you so much for being so honest. I love it. I absolutely love it.
I think you've got it right. I really do. And you know, the next time he, you know, says something casually, you know, say yes.
That's exactly.
And you know something? And you know, what I'm seeing here is that would this be your first marriage?
Yes, technically. I was married once before, but it wasn't legal. So that's a whole other story. But yeah.
Oh, okay.
My life is pretty interesting.
Yeah, it very. I would say that you know, he's not into grandiose things. So
right.
Doing something quietly and intimately would be far more meaningful to him than to, you know, going through months and months and months of planning a huge wedding. I would plan something very, very small and very, very casual and very, very intimate, because the big stuff will be much too much drama for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he would much rather something very, very quiet and intimate. You know, yeah, I mean, you don't have to run away to the justice of the peace, but keep it small. Keep it very small, because that will mean more to him than you know, a big party that costs a fortune.
That works. That sounds just like him. So we're on the same page. We're just getting there. So we gotta get there. Good deal.
Okay.
Thank you, ladies, so much. Have a great day.
Thank
you. Too.
You
too. Bye-bye now.
Welcome to you. Bye.
Wow, she really knows herself. That's really impressive.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, few people get to that point where they really understand what's going on, and you know, I will admit we all have those moments of insight and those moments of understanding and those moments of, wow, aha, I got it, you know, and then we lose it, of course, because, I mean, if we understood everything all the time, there would be no point to being here, actually. So it's. Yeah, that honesty was really refreshing, absolutely refreshing. We got Candy here. Hi, Candy. How are you doing today?
Hi, fine. How are you today?
Doing very, very well. Thank you. How can we help?
I was wondering if I could get a general, please.
Okay. Jen, do you want to start?
Sure. I was going to say you could probably do one of your Let It Rips. And
oh, God.
And let it go. Just a general.
Well, would you rather? Because I can do a Let It Rip real easy here.
Oh, I know.
I tell you what. I'll do a Let It Rip, and if you have something to add, you can add it afterwards. Okay.
Sure.
That work for you?
That works for me, because what I'm getting is like a Let It Rip is going to fix. Candy.
Okay. Okay, Candy, you're at a point in time here where the law of attraction, you know, that what you put out, you bring into your life is going to work for you for the next 12 months absolutely beautifully. It will bring great abundance into you. It will bring greater understanding into you. This is going to be 12 months in which there is abundance on almost every level of your life. You have to work for it. It's not going to be handed to you on a silver platter, but a vision board is really critical for you this year. There is abundance coming in this month. It feels as though there's more than you expect coming into your life, and that means not only financially, but it means emotionally. It means new people coming in. It means new groups. This is a time of initiating a great deal of new things into your life. This is also, by the way, they call it a black moon. There is an eclipse tonight, and so it, for everybody, actually, sitting down and making a list of those things you want to pull into your life is a really good idea today, because this eclipse is going to help to make everything manifest far more rapidly than ever before. You've got the element here of crossing a threshold into new levels of understanding of yourself and this reality of the dimensions that you live in. You're going to have, as you get into the May time frame, a lot of those aha moments where you begin to perceive and understand the reason and the direction for things and people that have come into your life and left your life very appropriately, I might add. This is a changing of the guard time. This is a time when not everybody is leaving and all new people coming in, but there's a lot of newness here. There's a lot of understanding that new people are coming in and expanding your level of awareness and expanding your impact and input into the reality wherein you dwell. June is a time where spirituality is profoundly present. It feels as though you're working on your own spiritual development, your awareness, the understanding that the spirit inside of you is going to be taking you in new directions and being open to those new directions. I don't see, you know, massive switches of lots of things in your life, but I do see you getting interested into some new new venues that you can experience and experiment with that are going to bring you a lot richer element of the life that you are walking through. There's a new richness to your life. It feels as though there is a better understanding of a lot of the gifts and the magic and the miracles that have come into your life to this point in time. You are very blessed. You are very gifted. You are a very unique person. And you don't operate on the same wavelength as everybody else does. You kind of march to your own beat, your drum beat, so to speak. And you're getting more and more comfortable with this. You're getting more and more comfortable with the fact that you are unique and you are different. You're stopping trying to make yourself fit into other people's agendas and perceptions of what they think you should be. So you're breaking ranks, and you're basically letting people know who you actually are. And it's a very exciting time for you. You're becoming more verbal about letting people know what you feel and what's going on in your life. You're moving into a time where there is greater security within yourself. As you hit the July time frame, there's a new foundation that you're working from. There's a new foundation that you are beginning to build new thoughts and philosophies and new directions that you want to take your life. I don't feel at this moment in time that you're living your passions, that you're really addressing what your passions are and weaving them into your everyday reality with whatever job you have. And I think that once you start doing that, and it does feel that you'll start doing that in the June to July time frame, that there will be a greater richness, a greater vibrancy, a greater understanding, and a greater excitement and joy within your life. You're going to feel that as you move into the August time frame, a sense here of letting go of a lot of the emotional baggage that you're carrying. And it does feel here as though there is a sense here of new beginnings and fresh starts for you, of opening yourself up to the richness that you carry within, and not looking at what you have and the blessings that have been given you as opposed to what you don't have. And when you start to feel the richness of the blessings that have been given you, everything sort of expands and more richness comes into your life. And there is a lot of new stuff going on here within your reality. And it's a very exciting time for you. There's commitment to making changes and shifts. There's a new commitment to life as we know it here as we come into the September time frame. Feels as though you may think about changing career or getting doing workshops and doing a lot of self-teaching to expand your tools and your gifts and to move into a greater balance within yourself. In October, it feels like there's great balance, and you're able to move into new venues. It feels here as though there is such a great balance here as you come into the October timeframe there's a great celebration internally as you put away your fears, you let go of your fears, and you just let, you know, you spread your wings. No jumping off, you know, tall buildings at a single bound, but you allow people to see the richness that you carry within and the wisdom that you carry. You've dumbed yourself down to many people. You've not let them know how intelligent you are. And when I say intelligence, I don't mean level of school that you've completed. It is more of the wisdom that you've carried through time that you're applying to your reality. And you have, in many cases, hidden that because you wanted to make sure you fit into the circles that you were taking part in. And it does feel as though that richness could greatly enhance friendships and relationships if you let it show, if you spoke it, if you really let people see the person who you really are, which is so much more than what their perception of you is. It doesn't mean that you take out an ad in the newspaper. It just means you stop hiding. As you come into November, there's a sense here of putting things in motion so that the following year is going to even open you to greater possibilities for shifts, for changes, for stretching yourself into new venues. And it does look like there is a thought of changing profession here, and I think that probably would be appropriate for you, but I don't think this is the right time to do it. I don't think it's the right time for you to start making these kind of plans. It's sort of like it's such early stages of the new aspects of yourself coming in. You need to give them time to sort of take root and be stable, and then I do believe a career that is more appropriate to you will call to you, absolutely call to you. As you come into December, there's a sense here of your intuition expanding greatly, of your awareness of the truths, the inner truths that you carry within yourself, and your perception and understanding of the fact that you have lived countless lifetimes, that there is great richness here that you have to draw upon. And it does feel as though in your dreams especially, you start understanding that and seeing new directions that you could take yourself, that you there's a lot of self-doubt here, and I think that's going away. From what I can see here, you're no longer saying, I can't. You know, you're saying, I'll give it a try, and that says to the universe, oh boy, let's just open up the doors for her and let her play. As you come into January, there's a sense here of rolling up your sleeves, getting back to work on some of the areas that you had sort of pushed aside and decided not to address, and it feels here in January, you've actually got a list of things that you're going to complete, tie up the loose ends, let go of things, pulling body, mind, spirit together, and having a stronger, more powerful, singular focus within all aspects of your reality by February. March is Phoenix Rising, where it's reborn out of the ashes of the old. You move into new understanding of a lot of the areas that you as a spirit want you as a human to go in. And that's an amazing connection to make. And we don't always have that for a very long time, but while you have it, utilize it as much as you can to make the shifts that are, you have, that are beginning to come into your consciousness. Act on them, because it opens you to such richness as you move forward in time that it's unbelievable. Okay, Jen, want to add?
No, I was just taking it off on mute, so I didn't interrupt you. That is incredible the way you do that. I'm just in awe each and every time. I want to know, holy smokes, what does baby powder and sweet peas mean to you, if anything, Candy?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
What does baby powder or sweet peas mean to you, if anything?
I have sweet pea body lotion.
Okay,
cool.
Thank you very much.
And my girlfriend also uses the same scent.
Your girlfriend, is she here?
She's on the side, yes.
And what is there a connection to Willie Nelson at all?
Oh, I think maybe you're picking up my sister.
Is she dead?
She's passed, yes.
She's passed, sorry. I'm being told. Okay. Did she have braids?
Pardon me?
Did she wear braids?
Probably when she was younger, yes.
Okay. So was she younger than you?
Well, my sister was older, but she was young when she passed. She was 56.
Okay, thank you. So she's come through to let you know that she is around you at this time?
Okay.
And that she liked animals, didn't she?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yep. She had all kinds of animals: birds, cats, dogs.
Yeah, my dogs are. One of them really wants out of the house right now, and one of them's fallen asleep quite contentedly, and he doesn't usually do that. So, but she came in with the strong scent of baby powder and sweet peas, and
mm-hmm.
I was supposed to tell you sweet peas. So, and.
Oh. I also know my friend has a dog on the other side named Sweet Pea. Okay, yeah.
There you go.
Okay.
That's validation.
That's
okay. Is her. So she's just come through to validate and brings her love. And and that's what I'm giving you today. So thank you very much.
Thank you much. And Barbara, what you said is spot on. The universe is just opened up, and I'm going with it.
Oh, good. Oh, good. It's
yes.
going to be a great year. It's going to be a fabulous year.
Right now, I'm in the little on the sponge thing, taking everything in.
Mm-hmm.
So that's right where it is right now. I mean, yeah, I believe you did say that.
Yeah, but just understand that you know, you're going to take in all this stuff, and if you don't implement it in your life and use it, it's worthless. So
right.
it you're going to have to take action, too. So it's going to be exciting.
Yeah, well, I have plans to use it, too, but it's just, that's just like, okay, where do we go? Where do I go?
Yeah, well, you know, the universe will open up to you. So, you know, you'll see where you're supposed to go. It's not
yes.
like you have to decide. It'll open up to you. Okay?
I believe there's several different venues to go down.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm doing.
And
yeah.
Try them all.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for the beautiful
choose.
Readings, lady. Have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
I know.
Cool. Baby powder and sweet peas. I'm impressed.
Well, holy, I'm freezing now, but it's all good. It's funny.
Cool energy.
Cool energy. And I've got one little dog here that's just so excited. Just, I'm not the only one who smells. I know, it's amazing. And I don't know, I never question it, but lately it just seems that people, spirits, or I always call them people, spirits are coming in with smells, and I have, or taste. And
wow.
Smell and taste, and it's just incredible. My mouth will fill up with cinnamon or nutmeg or, I don't know, mace. I don't even know if I know the taste of it. And I just, I'm told what it is. And it's like,
that is
wow.
so cool.
But what do you call that sense? You know, like people say, oh, it's clairaudient or clair something. And I'm going, it's a taste.
Clairsentient. It's, I don't know. What do you call clairsentient? Is a smell. I don't know. I'll have to look it up. I'm sure there is. Something. I'm just not sure what it is.
I don't know either, and I keep meaning to look it up, but I don't because I get busy doing something else. So it's wonderful, whatever it is. I don't question. I just go with it and think,
thank you. That's a lot smarter. Okay, we got Suzanne here. Hi, Suzanne. How are you doing today?
Suzanne. Reminds me of Leonard Cohen's song.
Hello, Suzanne. Are you there? Suzanne once. Suzanne twice. Suzanne three times. Okay.
Go on.
We will move on. Hi, we got Kelly here. Hi, Kelly. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you. What's up with you?
Well, I haven't not even a relationship yet, but I'm wondering if this particular person that I feel a strong spiritual connection, if it's something that I should invest my energy in. His name is Robbie. He's from another state. We know each other for a couple years. We've been friends. But I don't know, I get a really strong sense that there's more to us than just a friendship. And I know that I have trust issues, and I think he's been hurt before. So that's kind of what pulling us apart. But I don't know why I'm getting a strong sense that in the future maybe we might end up, you know, being together.
A number of things. First of all, I would say that there is certainly a connection from past lives. So that you have had past lives together where there has been the aspect of, and hear what I'm saying, there has been the aspect of relationship connections. Now, that doesn't mean necessarily, you know, a mated relationship. It could be a mother-father. It could be a brother-sister. It could be any plethora of different kinds of connections. But you are recognizing the fact that you have had past lifetimes where there has been a connection of some sort with him. And as far as, you know, both of you having trust issues and things like that, that kind of backs me up a little bit, because to be honest with you, I think, you know, you both need to work on that particular aspect within your own self first, and make sure that your relationship with yourself is a strong one, so that when you see a red flag, you walk away. When you hear something that's inappropriate, you speak up, all that kind of stuff. I know there's a connection here. I think that from what I am seeing, that the most important aspect to it is that both of you, hear that underlined, both of you speak your own truth, and you don't get caught up in the waiting game. You know, is he not, is she not, you know, I'll stand back and this will be a test. That's the inappropriate way to go into a relationship. So I don't think either of you are ready yet. So I strongly urge you, strongly, strongly urge you to develop a friendship, a close friendship, and then see where it goes from there. And both of you need to learn how to make friends and have a good, strong friendship before you even put your big toe in the pool of romantic relationship. And so as far as relationship goes, absolutely, you know, develop a friendship and see where it goes from there. I think that it's more important that you learn how to have a friendship before you even try to have a romantic relationship. And if you do a good job on friendship, then the other is a piece of cake. Jen, what are you getting?
Well, what I'm getting is that you're going to be starting a new chapter in your life. So it's pretty much what Barbara is saying. You know, it doesn't matter what cards I pull or what cards Barbara pulls, we'll get the same thing. And it's actually amazing. You know, I can be on one coast and Barbara will be on another. And intuitively, psychically, we're told the same thing. And it's time to look at how you value yourself. And I, you know, I really encourage you. What I'm being shown is that, you know, you're stepping onto a new stage. You're stepping into a new phase of your life. And, you know, is this a fellow part of it? Perhaps. But, you know, you've got, you know, a vast area, a vast area is not the word I'm looking for. There's so much for you to do and see that, you know, take your time. What I'm being told is take your time, darling, and experience and go out there and look. And don't rush in, like Barbara says. Don't rush into anything. Just really take your time and explore you. Because once you explore you and get to know you, draw back those curtains, you're going to find someone that you really, really trust and like. And when you find that, you're going to be encouraged to expand your thinking, and you're going to be encouraged to find someone that really fits the other half of you. I don't know if this guy's it or not. I don't know. But you're gonna be ending up with someone special, and I'm showing that. So, you know.
What I've been working on recently has been trying to build relationships, and I'm just not saying with the male part of it, but just with women, with friends, with people, because I have built pretty much an invisible wall around me, because I have focused first on spirituality, then I focused in family and then career, and so I'm kind of pulling down the veil a little bit and kind of saying, okay, maybe this is the only part of myself that I have not touched or explored and, you know, pursue as relationship-wise with people in general. So he's the only person that has been able to pull me out and say, you know, we can actually be friends. We can be one day, and this is not right now, but one day, you know, we could be something. We should give us the opportunity. So this is the only person that has been able to do that for me in a long, long time. And we're talking, I don't know, long time, you know, a lot of years. So this is why I thought, well, maybe that's something I need to pursue, but, you know, I'm kind of like new at it. I don't really know how. I don't know how much involved do I need to look within, that I need to, what is it that I need to address, why do I have that disconnection with people.
Okay, well, I can give you sort of a guideline as far as friendship goes and things like that, and usually I think you're in new territory, absolutely, from what I'm seeing, and it's sort of like As this friendship, and I'm going to call it a friendship because it has to be that first for there to be a chance for there to be anything else, make sure that it's balanced. Make sure that, you know, the number of times you call him equals the number of times he's called you. Make sure that if he gives you a gift, that you give one comparable. If he sends you a card, you do comparable. You don't overwhelm him. You keep it very, very balanced. And in so doing, you don't overwhelm, overpower, or overreach where the relationship is at that moment in time, because both of you are kind of babes in the woods, so to speak, and it's going to take time for a good, strong, solid friendship to form, and, you know, work on that part of it instead of looking to where it could be. Look at where it is. And have a good time with that.
Make that. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Kelly.
Cool place to be. It's going to be very exciting. You know, it's probably a little scary now, but it's going to be more exciting than anything else. Okay, we've got a special lady here. We've got Queen. Hi, Queen. How are you doing today?
I'm doing awesome, Barbara. How are you?
Doing awesome. How can we help? What can we do?
Well, I'm glad to hear it. I'm sure you can do a bunch of things. I have a couple of things that I'd like to put on the table. The
sure.
First one is I had a relationship with an attorney, not romantic, regarding legal matters. He and I found him to be probably the most competent in his arena. But we had power struggles. I didn't like the way he did some things. So ultimately, after he dealt with the legal matter and made it so I could see my path much clearer, he decided to run off the road the other night and kill himself just before he decided that he didn't want to dance with me anymore. So the first
how very inconsiderate of him.
Well, I'm glad he let me go, just you know, so I could be prepared for his departure. But I'd like to know what our relationship is going to be while he is in spirit, because I get the feeling that he's going to help me. He's going to have a revelation, and he's going to help me from spirit. That's the first part of the question. Oh, and the other one is the other aspect that while I was sitting waiting patiently for my connection with you two, I received an invitation to be on someone's podcast. Now, that's happened before. I've been guest on shows, but what I want to put out there is I'm beginning to know that my book is going to be ready by a certain time. I'm getting invitations to be on shows. I'm feeling like I'm going to bring my book. So I want to, you know, get the feeling of I'm still not sure what direction or how many books I need to focus on, that kind of thing, get more clarity on that. So I know it's time for me to write, as you've told me quite a few times.
Yeah, that's very, very true. Let me address the numbers of book. You know, you've got a lot of books inside of you. I mean, I just, you know, once this one is on the road to getting published, start the next one, because it feels as though writing is a wonderful way for you to. It's a catharsis for you. It's also a way of you learning from yourself, which is fabulous. And I think, you know, just from my own past experience, you know, and here's one of those cases where I have made mistakes. Let me tell you what mine were, and so you don't make the same ones. When you're asked to do a show, make sure that you understand the show. And if you have never listened to it, go in and listen to several of their broadcasts, so you get a feeling as to whether you fit into that venue, into that particular energetic. Sometimes you can, you know, I have, you know, because when my book, Whispers, the Spiritual Wisdom, came out, you know, anybody who wanted me got me, and I ended up on some sports shows. And while they had read the book and they did talk to me about spiritual stuff, I ended up talking about the Yankees. So you want to make sure that, of which I know quite a bit, by the way. I was not out of my element at all. But you know, make sure that where you put yourself is a good platform for you to generate the kind of energy you want to generate. And, you know, you've got so many books here, I can't even count them. But make sure that you're putting yourself in venues that honor what it is you have to share. And certainly, you know, everybody's going to want you on their show. I mean, there's no question to that. It's just a matter of, is it appropriate for you to be on everybody's show? I would definitely skip the sports shows if I were you. And as far as the gentleman in spirit, I absolutely think you're right. But I must tell you, he was done. You know, he'd finished what he was here to do, and he was done. And, you know, he chose to take himself out, but had he not, he would have gone another way. So I'll let Jen go from there as far as that. Jen?
Hi.
Thank you. Hi.
When someone takes their own life, it's difficult on the survivors. My heart to yours. That's, you know, it leaves a lot of questions. It leaves a lot of questions and very few answers. That's coming from experience. So having said that, he will be helping you. Give him a bit of time. Get familiarized with his new surroundings and doing whatever he wants to do and what he's going to be doing, and he will be there for you. As you know, you are entirely gifted, and you're going to be extremely busy. Don't lose your integrity. Pardon?
Queen, does the name Howard mean anything to you?
I can't place it at the moment.
I keep hearing Howard saying he's here. So Howard's here and he's saying hi. I'm sorry, Jen. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. You know me. When people step in, spirits step in, you have to go with them because they're not going to let you go.
They don't go away.
They don't. It's like someone I know named William who kept waving and waving and waving. This fellow does not want you to ever lose your integrity.
Mm.
Okay? Did you have fights about integrity? Said earlier that you had power struggles. Was there power...
Yes. Yes. Power struggles, integrity, his integrity. The last email I said, you're a wordsmith. You should be very, very conscious about the power of the words that you speak. Like when you say you're going to do something, do it.
Well, he doesn't want you to lose your integrity. And he's going to make sure of that. He's going to help you with your writing. And he's going to be... It sounds funny, especially. He's going to be along for the ride, and he's going to be there with you, in all ways and always. I don't know if the name Raw. Pardon?
I said, "Wow! I wasn't looking for his company that long."
You've got it, darling. You've got it. Does the name Robert mean anything to you?
You know, yes. I know Robert.
Okay. I've got to put this Robert. And he's coming through clearly right now, and he's sending you love, and he's also going to be helping you on your new endeavors. So have you written a book, or are you going to be writing?
I'm in the process, Robert, I would love to have with me forever. Thank you.
He's going to be helping you. He says you're going to be writing a new book. So if you're writing one now, you're going to be writing two, and you can write two at once, he says. So, and you're going to write one.
Did this gentleman drive you nuts?
What, the lawyer?
Yeah.
Oh, it was. Well, the challenge of being in a lawsuit is enough unto itself, and I had already fired one attorney prior to him, so I wasn't about taking anything. He was a guy. He's the best attorney in town. He's an elf. He was an elf. But he was arrogant.
But he wants you to know that as nuts as he may have driven you, you drove him nuts too. And you know, I'm hearing if you think you were a piece of cake, you know, take another thought. Apparently, you were well matched.
Yes, mm-hmm. But I was paying him extraordinarily great money, in my opinion, and that was and I expected for him to, you know, at least email me when you've done something. I didn't ask for a lot, but I got your point. He wasn't accustomed to doing that.
No, lawyers aren't. I mean, I take it from me. I come from a family of lawyers. I'm surrounded by them, and not only in life but in spirit as well. And I, you know, I haven't got a good thing to say about them. And my son is a lawyer, and my daughter-in-law is a lawyer, and my grandfather and uncles and cousins, and you know, the whole. But they have a different set of rules they live by. You know, it's all 30 to 60 days, maybe. And I swear to you, I do believe they have to give in a part of their soul when they you know, pass the bar, or they give in a part of their soul when they pass the bar. Doesn't mean that they can't be good people, and I love my son and daughter-in-law greatly, but there is a way of thinking that they have that is so contrary to human kindness and compassion and all of that stuff that is just profound. He's saying that you drove him crazy too, but that he had great respect for you, and you made him laugh, which not many people could do. So that had it not been his time to move on, you would have had a lovely, lovely time doing verbal battle.
Very interesting.
In a kind way.
Very interesting. And I agree that the mindset is horrible. And I feel since I am in these situations that it is for me to shed light on it and to maybe make them remember, help them to remember their humanity. Because most people that step into these arenas are so distraught that they're not willing to stand up for themselves because they feel like they're at the mercy of these individuals who have these God complexes. And anyway, thank you, Barbara. Glad you're back. Thank your guest very much for bringing Robert through and the other person. And namaste.
Namaste. Thank you.
Namaste. Blessings.
She's a neat lady. She's a very,
that
very neat lady.
Wow. Yeah, that's incredible.
Okay, we've got Ashley. Maybe. Hi, Ashley, are you there?
Yes, how are you?
Doing well, thank you. How can we help?
Oh, General will be fine, thank you.
Okay, well, you got a lot of stuff going on here. I truly believe that you are at a time and place where you're making choices, you're making decisions, and you're altering a lot of aspects of your life. So that I got to tell you, as you move into the May time frame, it feels here as though the spotlight is on you, and there is a great deal of new energy coming in here. You've definitely done a tremendous amount of work on yourself and your life and your direction, and it feels like you're beginning to, you know, actually manifest a lot of the work that you've done internally. I would say that there is a sense of working on yourself, and you've done a great job. You've certainly paid heavy duty dues, that's for sure. And it does feel as though you're coming into a time where you're going to see the results of your labor. You're going to see that a lot of the things that you have done have really made changes in not only yourself, but in the destiny of your spirit within this reality at this particular point in time. June and July are times in which you are going to be working on many different levels here, and it does feel as though you're creating a new foundation for your entire, for the rest of your life. You're altering the pathway to a great degree because of the changes that you've made and the choices that you've made. And it does feel as though there are new directions here. And as you come to September, you're initiated into a new understanding of kind of, I want to say there are new possibilities out there for you because you've let go of a lot of the baggage that you've been carrying. And we never get rid of all of our baggage, but we can, you know, kind of scale down. And I feel you've scaled down tremendously. It feels as though there is a concept of being hugged by the universe as you get into November, and getting cosmic hugs. And cosmic hugs are just great. They're a gentle reminder that hits you at strange and wonderful times, where you just know that suddenly there is that aspect of really being able to see things far more clearly than ever before. And then of course we fog up with our lives and our realities. But cosmic hugs are something that you're going to have coming in a lot over the next 12 months. Crossing a threshold of understanding of this and other dimensions, new beginnings. There are new beginnings here as of the first of the year. So it looks like you're kind of working at making major changes in your life. And a lot of the work is kind of under the table, so to speak. It's not out where everybody can see it. But as you hit the January timeframe, here are the new beginnings. Here's the magic and the miracles. Here's coming into a new flow of energy. Here's you know, all sorts of amazingly wonderful things starting to befall you and open up to you, so that all of the work that you've done is actually going to be, I don't want to call it rewarded, but you've put the time in, you've paid the dues, and you're going to see the results because you've done an amazing job. Jen, what are you getting? Are you there? Oh, she's muted herself.
I'm here.
Unmute yourself. Oh, okay.
I did unmute myself. I think that's great, funny because I hit it and it doesn't want to come off. What I'm getting is that you're going to be taking a look at your self-worth, and I think self-worth is coming up a lot today, which is kind of funny, interesting. Yes, great word. I'm trying to find the right word for it. Interesting. And the universe can see that. I guess a lot of us are working on that, but you know, you're going to be, I pulled some cards, which I don't normally do, but with you I feel like that I had to. And what I've got is that the angel of self-worth is that you're currently undervaluing yourself for some reason. And it's a time to regain your self-worth. Plain and simple. You're a wonderful person. Realize that. And go for it. So I don't know what you're holding back on. Within
I'm not
yourself?
Holding back anything. It's just the only thing holding back. You say like a love life, a relationship. I'm just focusing on me right now.
You are
a guy is interested in me. I don't know what's going on with that situation.
You don't know what's going on with that situation, so.
Do you see any new relationships, new beginnings about anything, new friendship before a relationship or something? Like someone I could build a spiritual relationship with before we go to the next level?
I think you're going to have to go through a spiritual relationship before you go to the next level. I think that's what... if you're asking me, then I think that you're asking yourself that. Because if you knew, then you wouldn't be asking that question.
No, I say, do you see anyone coming into my life that want to be with me?
Oh, yes, I do. Definitely. Sorry, it's very hard to hear you.
I'm sitting outside on the porch.
Oh, okay. No, because you're breaking up. No, I definitely see someone coming into your life. I definitely see someone staying with you for a long period of time. And
okay.
I definitely see you undervaluing yourself at this moment in time. So when you start looking at yourself and saying, I am extremely worthy of having a good relationship, then that is going to happen. So you've built bricks up around that heart of yours, and you've got a big old soft heart. You usually wear it on your sleeve, but when some guy comes snooping around, you put a shield up. So trust in yourself.
Okay.
Trust in your instincts. They're good instincts.
Absolutely.
You know, well, sometimes I dated, he found out he had kids and he was hiding things. for me. So.
Yeah. Well, I think the one thing that I want to add here is please don't ever again settle for less than you're worth.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it feels like you have done that, and that doesn't. I don't mean that you're supposed to judge people, but if you're looking at someone and saying, well, I might be able to enjoy this, and I could compromise, and I could. If you feel that someone is not going to be strong enough to be an emotional and an intellectual support for a long time, then you need to, you know, kindly say, you know, you're a great person, but you're just not great for me. And the more that you let the universe know that you will not take less than you deserve, the better the quality of the people that they send you.
Right.
Don't settle. Don't ever settle. You deserve to have something that fits you perfectly, and please hold out for it.
Yes, I cannot.
That's why I'm patient right now.
Barbara said it perfectly, and that's to anybody who is listening.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, it's the universe keeps sending to you until you say this fits, this feels good, thank you very much. And if you settle for less than you're worth, you know, the other people will just go elsewhere. And if you don't settle because you don't think someone else will come in. If you're ready for a relationship and one person is applying, clearly you're ready for a relationship. So hold out for the best.
Well, I'm patient.
Amen.
Mom
called
me picky.
be picky. You're entitled to be picky, and you should be picky.
Yeah,
you know,
be
I mean,
very particular. Yeah.
Yeah, and trust me, the universe takes this as an amazing challenge, and it you know, if you're not settling, then they send you much better quality people. It's really cool. So many people settle for less than they're worth, and then they have unhappy marriages, and they have unhappy relationships, and they wonder why. And in reality, it's we didn't value ourselves enough to wait for what was perfect for us. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
You're
thank
welcome,
you.
Ashley. Good luck.
Thank you.
Have a great
thank
day,
you.
Ashley.
Yeah, okay. Oh, Clairgustans is the word you were looking for, Jen.
Oh.
That's taste. G-U-S-T-A-N-S.
Clairgustans is the word. Oh, whose fountainhead? Thank you so much.
Yeah. Okay, we've got one more we've got to slip in here. We've got Anna here. Hi, Anna. Thanks for waiting.
Hi there. How are you?
Doing well. How can we help today?
Good. I really enjoyed that last conversation you were having because I've been working on bringing more quality friendships and men into my life. And so I met this girl about a year ago. She's a friend. And for the last year and a half, I've been spending time with her and her husband and as a group of friends. And she seemed fine. And it seems like very recently there's been some competitiveness and jealousy. And I actually confronted her about a month ago, and she kind of mistreated me when we went on this weekend trip. So I thought we talked it through, but it seems like with this one particular group of friends that we have, it seems like in some instances she's trying to be like me, and I know that sounds really weird and heady, but also just still being competitive about this group of friends. So I'm just wondering what you see around the situation, because I thought I resolved it with her.
First of all, what's going on has to do with past life stuff. You have competed with her in past lives in many different aspects. Most of the situations you have either been brother sister, sister sister, brother brother, that kind of stuff, and there has always been sibling rivalry. And what you're dealing with is sibling rivalry here. And I'm not sure that it's something, you know, while you might be able to work it out and work it through, I don't feel she is emotionally at a place where she even understands what's going on. So that,
yeah.
You know,
she
I,
did
I
tell, When I brought up the first time, she did say she didn't understand where the jealousy was coming from, and she had been thinking about it. So, and on one side, I kind of commend her for admitting things, mm-hmm. but I'm still very uncomfortable around her because I never know what I'm doing that might upset her, or it's really kind of weird that she's trying to be more like me when she's clearly not at all. Like, we're different personalities. And
what I'm getting now is that there are a number of times where you've been the older sibling. And you know, younger siblings look up to their older siblings and they respect them and they try to be like them because they respect them greatly. She has a lot of insecurity in her life. It is not just her friendship with you. It's the fact that she feels that she has to have relationships of her own to feel her own self-worth. And you have to understand, you may have to back out of that one group to just give her her space and not be a part of that group so that she feels she has something of her own. I'm not mm-hmm. sure she's going to be able to grow up and through and understand this whole thing. I do feel that she's a very sincere, lovely person.
It really threw me off.
I think that I would strongly urge you to maintain your friendship with her and do stuff with her that is just have a one-on-one with her. And when you're one-on-one with her, everything is perfectly fine. It's when competition comes in here with other people as well that she feels that she has to have the upper hand. And I don't know that she'll be able to overcome that. But do maintain her friendship on an independent nature because she's a good person and you've been close to her and you've been close to her in past lives. Jen, what are you getting?
I am... you know, getting the same thing. I was going to say the same thing you were about stepping out of that relationship within a group setting. It's, you don't need stuff like that in your life. We have enough in our lives without having the strife of trying to deal with someone else's drama. And that's what it is. And it's hard because we go out for a good time. And we go out for a fun time. We want to have enjoyment and laughter and joy. And that brings us down. And, you know, I get the feeling that she really doesn't know what she's doing at times. And at other times, she sure does. And it's a compulsive, almost obsessive thing that she can't help. And I really
enjoy this group of friends. They really are like family to me where I don't have any in this area. So I understand I'm probably the stronger one that can kind of step back and know that I can always come back later.
I'm not saying to you know, not be friends with those people. Just do it on a one-on-one. Don't do it as a group.
Well, that makes sense. And am I wrong for feeling a little... like, I've been struggling because she hurt me that weekend. She was very rude to me in front of everybody and standoffish, and she had never been that way before. And I guess that I just feel wrong for feeling a little kind of, I wouldn't say bitter about it, but I am hurt from what she did.
But please understand, I don't think she knew why she was doing it, and she probably was standing back and saying, what the hell is going on? For a while, for a year or so, don't do mm-hmm. group things. Keep your contact with everybody. Keep friends with everybody. Do stuff with everybody, but do it independently. Don't do small groups without her, because that's mean.
It's just hard because they do invite like all of us over for cookouts, and I'm just trying to figure out the best way to handle it.
Yeah, go ahead, Jen.
If you can handle it, then all systems go, right? But realize that you're putting yourself up.
Yeah.
You are the one. That is your choice. We're all given freedom of choice. And mm-hmm. that's your choice then to put yourself in that predicament, that situation. And that's mm-hmm. the hard part of it. Because we're always going to find in this life someone, somewhere, that's going to be doing something of that nature, whether it's in this group or another group, whether we're 55 or 25 or 13 or 70, there will be someone that's going to be perhaps doing something like that, because that's just the way it is. It's our choice whether we want to do that every Friday night, every second Monday of, you know, every second month. And that's our choice. Can we handle that? You know, is it good for us to do that? Are we going to be willing or a willing participant? We don't have to be a willing participant because, you know, that does hurt our feelings. We're all human. We all have feelings. Can we be empathetic? We can be empathetic towards the other person, but we can be empathetic and compassionate with ourselves too. And I think we get a bit lost there, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I have a hard time, like, trusting women for this exact reason. So when I let her in as a friend and trusted her for a year and a half, and it finally came out, it did throw me back a little. So like you said, I have to just look at what's best for me first.
So. Yeah, and you know, I think she really sincerely wants to be a good friend. Just don't put her in a place where she has to compete, because she will, and she can't help it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Anna,
thank you.
Thanks so much for calling.
Real quickly here, who's got cherry blossoms around them?
Oh, you know, I work in Washington, D.C., so they'll be out very soon.
Okay. Thank you very much. There's validation for you.
Thank you very much. Okay.
Bye-bye. Take care. Okay. Hold on there just a minute, Jen. I want to thank everybody for being here. And, you know, check out the other shows. I think I'm going to be doing, I'm definitely going to be doing a Wednesday show. I may be doing a Thursday interview show that would be really interesting for you guys. So keep watching my posts and or following the shows. And I thank Chris so much for managing to do two shows at once and speaking on air on the other one. So she has multitasked beautifully. So thank you, Chris. I really appreciate that. And thank you, everyone else. And Jen, you were spectacular. And don't go anywhere. I'm going to put you in the green room. Thank you for being here. You have been amazing, as always. Jen will be back. Check my schedule. And if you didn't get a reading today, then get one next time, because she is a very special person. Thanks, everyone, and good night.